Welcome down my walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Today, on my walk, I'm thinking about something bigger than slavery, something more important than emancipation. And that something bigger, that something more important, is coming from my reading of Gary Will's Lincoln at Gettysburg, a book so rich, in my opinion, that it needs to be studied more than read. But I finished my reading, and before I move on to other books, I wanted to take some time and address a central point the author makes that I think we need to hear. Namely, that there's something bigger than slavery that Lincoln was addressing at Gettysburg. In fact, as important as it was to honor the dead, Lincoln had far more in mind than that important and necessary task. Now, it's quite clear that those who were making preparations for the day Lincoln would speak at Gettysburg had other things on their minds. This goes for David Wills, the 32-year-old prosperous Gettysburg banker who was commissioned to oversee the cemetery that would sit on the battle site. And Wills writes that David Wills meant to dedicate the ground that would hold the bodies even before the corpses were moved. He felt the need for artful words to sweeten the poisoned air. So that was what was on his mind. It wasn't a pretty place to be. Edward Everett, tasked with the oration, the primary dedicatory speech, Lincoln's words, we need to understand, were simply billed as dedicatory remarks. The real address was given by Everett. And Everett was focusing on his talk, and that was a talk that was expected to take a couple of hours to deliver. In their day, orations had the length and pacing of a modern rock concert. And by the way, Everett memorized his entire 32-page speech, and that was his custom. Yikes! Well, Lincoln, whose casual and late invitation to offer a, quote, few appropriate remarks to open the cemetery, had the war on his mind, his upcoming election, and in some ways, as Gary Wills points out, the necessity of mending fences with certain notables who are present. So if you and I are not careful, we can read in our thoughts with respect to what the Gettysburg Address is all about. So listen to what Wills writes, referring to the words Lincoln uttered in his Gettysburg Address, and I quote, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us." Here's what Will says. "The great task mentioned in the address is not emancipation, but preservation of self-government." Now, we assume today, Wills writes, that self-government included self-rule by blacks as well as whites. But at the time of his appearance at Gettysburg, Lincoln was not advocating even eventually the suffrage of African Americans. The Gettysburg Address, for all its artistry and eloquence, does not directly address the prickliest issue of its historic moment. So writes Gary Wills. In fact, as Wills examines Lincoln's words on white and black races at the time, here's what he says. "The degree of explicitness in Lincoln's opposition to slavery on the one hand, or his resignation to it on the other, is greater or less from place to place." In other words, Lincoln was cautious and circuitous, or, as some people would say, he skirted the issue. At least that were the words of some of his critics. So, if we take a look at all this, and slavery is not front and center in Lincoln's mind, or even the idea of honoring the dead, what is? Well, the issue central to Lincoln was saving the Union. Listen to a reply that he gave New York Times Tribune editor Horace Greeley, who wrote an editorial on August 19, 1862, entitled "The Prayer of 20 Millions." And Greeley was chiding the president in his editorial for not moving more forcefully for emancipation. Now, little did he know that even at the time he was writing that, Lincoln had already written his Emancipation Proclamation, and he had it sitting in his desk drawer waiting for the right time to issue it. But here's what Lincoln said in reply to this very influential editor who says, "You're going too slow on the issue of emancipation." These are Lincoln's words. As to the policy I seem to be pursuing, as you say, I have not meant to leave anyone in doubt. I would save the Union. I would save it the shortest way under the Constitution. The sooner the national authority can be restored, the nearer the Union will be, the Union as it was. If there be those who would not save the Union unless they could at the same time save slavery, I do not agree with them. My paramount objective in this struggle is to save the Union, and not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. If I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that. What I do about slavery and the colored race, I do because I believe, hear this, it helps to save the Union. And for what I forbear because I do not believe it would help to save the Union. Saving the Union was what was on Lincoln's mind at Gettysburg. And to help bring that about, he had to change the thinking of the nation about the very Constitution itself. Listen to what Will says.
Lincoln did for the whole Civil War what he accomplished for the single battlefield. He has prescinded from messy squabbles over constitutionality, sectionalism, property, states. Slavery is not mentioned any more than Gettysburg is. The discussion is driven back and back beyond the historical particulars to great ideals that are made to grapple naked in an airy battle of the mind. Lincoln derives a transcendental significance from this bloody episode. Both North and South strove to win the battle for interpreting Gettysburg as soon as the physical battle had ended. Lincoln is after even larger game. He means to win the whole Civil War in ideological terms as well as military ones. And he will succeed. The Civil War is, to most Americans, what Lincoln meant it to mean. Words had to complete the work of the guns. Lincoln is here not only to sweeten the air of Gettysburg, but to clear the infected atmosphere of American history itself, tainted with official sins and inherited guilt. He would cleanse the Constitution, not as William Lloyd Garrison had by burning an instrument that countenanced slavery. He altered the document from within, by appeal from its letter to the spirit, subtly changing the recalcitrant stuff of that legal compromise, bringing it to its own indictment. By implicitly doing this, he performed one of the most daring acts of open-air sleight of hand ever witnessed by the unsuspecting. Everyone in that vast throng of thousands was having his or her intellectual pocket picked. The crowd departed with a new thing in its ideological luggage, that new Constitution Lincoln had substituted for the one they brought there with them. They walked off from those curving graves on the hillside under a changed sky into a different America. Lincoln had revolutionized the revolution, giving people a new past to live with that would change their future indefinitely.
Lincoln's Gettysburg Address rose above the central issue of slavery, and we should be glad it did. As Wilmore Kendall says, Lincoln undertook a new founding of the nation to correct things felt to be imperfect in the founders' own achievement. Lincoln took the founders' declaration that, quote, all men are created equal, and he reinterpreted it to include all men, not simply all white men. But he did it in such a way, he wove such a spell of words, as Gary Wills notes, that we embrace his thoughts as being those of our very own. Yes, this is the Union that we're fighting for. And if that common thought that our Union that holds that all men are created equal must be preserved, and it's that common thought that our Union, a Union that holds that all men are created equal, it's that thought that that must be preserved. And when we preserve that kind of union, here's what it enables us to do. It enables us to add a 14th Amendment, which gives former slaves equal protection and voting rights under the law, or it enables us to create a 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote, or the Civil Rights Law of 1964 that outlaws discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And who knows if any of that would have happened had not Lincoln united us in our reinterpretation of the Declaration's claim that all men are created equal. Reading Wills has been so beneficial. It's reminded me not to let my own issues, as important as they are, to cause me to misread or misjudge the issue. It's helped me to pay attention to context and to think deeply with respect to who we are as an American people. For Lincoln, there was something bigger than emancipation. And for our sake, we can be glad there was. For his words help us hold together and point us to a better version and a better vision of what it means to be an American people. Well, there's something bigger than emancipation. Well, that's my thought on my walk with Gary Wills and his Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Lincoln at Gettysburg, The Words That Remade America. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.